All right. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and I think we'll get started here. And I'm told that we start with Commissioner Communications and Updates, so.
Oh, wait on me, because I'm not thinking about my.
Paul, are you ready? Martha?
Martha's better.
Somebody? I guess it's Martha.
Let me see what I've been up to here. All right, let me take a quick look at my calendar here. Basically, you know, I thought the cultural training we had was really good. I met with Bridget Daisy last week, who is our workforce executive director, and we're kind of still working on those issues. We all attended the Parrot Creek luncheon. I did attend the Willamette Falls Locks Commission, which is the Unlock the Locks group, and so I am vice chair, Russ is chair, and then Sandy Carter is the co-vice chair. Okay, so we'll be working that whole thing through the system. And that's about it for me that week. It's been pretty, have an impact briefing as well. We're still kind of looking at tracking the housing bond issue and what that framework's going to look like, and I think Paul's been involved in that too at JPAC. So, okay, that's it.
Thank you.
That's it for me.
Yeah. Paul?
Okay, Thursday night at C4, there was a motion and a pass, basically, and I don't see Trent here, but we need to, perhaps this morning, I'd like to get the BCC to take that and prepare something, a letter going possibly to the tolling committee based on that. At least it comes from the C4. So I can present that Monday at the tolling meeting, possibly. So we'll get a strategy as to what that is. But and so maybe this afternoon, and I'm looking at Gary as I'm speaking. No?
Sorry, Commissioner. Staff is drafting it right now, but we weren't prepared to have it for today. If you'd like us to prioritize, we could do that. We're hoping to have it for you next Tuesday at issues.
Okay, so maybe give me that.
What's the context of the letter that you're looking for?
So at the coordinating committee meeting last week, the group asked that. I'm sorry, I apologize. C4 is drafting a letter regarding tolling to the value pricing committee, but there's also a letter from the county commissioners about tolling to the value pricing committee. We met yesterday to discuss that, and I recall our strategy was to have a draft for you, Commissioner, by the end of this week, but then bring to issues next Tuesday after the Monday value pricing committee that you'll attend in case there's any changes you want to make.
Anyway, I guess what I was kind of looking for is last night, I haven't got a chance to review it, we got the packet for the tolling meeting. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping maybe staff's reviewing that packet.
Yes.
And seeing if there is a way possibly to at least get the commission's endorsement that is similar to the C4, if not the same. And at least I can verbalize that at the C4, at the tolling meeting on Monday.
Okay.
So not the letter, mm-hmm. but at least the statement and that position. It's more of a position statement going into that meeting, because I need the tools at that meeting, because I think what's going to happen on Monday, I haven't looked at the packet, but I think what's going to happen on Monday is frankly going to frame up what the recommendation is coming out in June at the last tolling meeting.
Yes, so staff is reviewing that now. Would you like to have them
Just the position, to bring out that position. I think the position basically is, if you're basically going to toll, that the revenues go towards building highway capacity. And so if that, I don't know what the verbatim, can't remember what the verbatim one that was recorded at C4, but if that's something that we can agree is still our position, then I can leverage that on Monday. So I'm not sure if we're going to be in the... All to say, I'm not sure if we're going to be in the majority recommendation at the tolling meeting coming forward finally in June, or if we're going to be in the minority report. Not sure which.
Is there a suggestion that tolling would not go towards
building capacity from someone?
No, that's one of the, that's one, that's the only recommendation of the first that's actually gone forward of the first eight options, and everything else has been a hybrid. So we're not sure. It's been very unclear. I think there's a lot of people that really believe that we shouldn't build capacity. So I don't know what the, majority is going to be.
Okay. Anything else?
That's all.
Commissioner Fisher.
Not a lot to report since Thursday, since we last gathered, but I am aware that there is a letter coming from a group of individuals, I don't know if you've all seen it, regarding us pulling out of AOCC, and there will be more signers onto that letter. Have you all seen that letter, or is it just something that I've seen?
No, they're not. They're really probably focusing. They're not focusing on me, or I'll tell you that. And
what, say that again?
They have. I think they're focusing on you as the conduit for this. I haven't seen any of that.
Oh, okay. So I should get that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's in my other notebook.
Okay.
Brenda just took it, but I have. Everybody should see that.
Okay.
And it's addressed to all of us. I think they're just going. Have you seen it? That they're going and getting signers on it. I just think it's important that we all know what's going on. I don't want any of us. I want us to not be triangulated or.
Yeah, which is what I worry about too.
Yep.
Yeah. The other thing is, I know that the Justice Committee of the Democrats evidently is discussing this Wednesday night.
The Justice? They have a Justice Committee?
Yes. Yes. And I'm on the Justice Committee, so I'm going to probably try and go, even though I'm like, kind of busy this week, because my fear is that, my goal is to frame it as a social justice issue, because I really, truly think there's a perspective that other people need to understand about what's driving this, and that we need to be cognizant of that and the reason why we're trying to tread softly is because there are relationships at stake and just a different rural perspective. I worry that this is going to make the urban-rural divide even bigger than it should be at this point. So that's my worry. So anyone else that wants to come to the justice meeting is more than welcome to do that. So.
Is that so?
It's a Democratic meeting. They have a justice from the Clackamas County Democrats have a justice.
So we say anyone can attend. You're not inferring that anyone outside the party would attend?
I don't think it would matter one way or the other, but yeah, it probably wouldn't be as comfortable for you as it would for me. But
so is that the Clackamas County?
Clackamas County Democratic Party has a justice committee, and they are discussing this evidently Wednesday night. And I got an invitation. Because I asked to be on the Justice Committee. So, there we go. So, Sonia, if you want to come. Anyway.
Anything else?
I just want people to be aware. So, and Brenda just came back. In my notebook is a letter, my old notebook, and Martha should see it.
Was this from the Audubon Society? Maybe I have seen it. I've got a copy of it.
Oh. And Paul should see it too. Ken's seen it.
It's not uncommon, frankly, whatever the issue may be, special interest groups or whatever it may be, or people not even that are even groups or organized come forward and either triangulate us or send us a batch of stuff. And so, I read a lot of material. I'm not sure I read this one, though.
And we met with them the other day, too, right, Ken? We met with Bark, and they all came in.
Not Bark.
One of the young women was from Bark, I thought.
That's right. Oregon Wild.
Right.
And I think Sierra Club.
Right. And this justice meeting, it has been Oregon Wild and Bark who have organized to speak at this justice meeting.
Okay. So. When we had the meeting last week, we reflected the last generalized discussions and comments that were made about not withdrawing at this point in time, partly because Martha will be moving into the chair position at AOC. And all of these counties of AOCC are members of AOC. And Martha's asked us to give her the opportunity to keep that communication line open. So that was one of the things that we reflected back to them.
As have I.
Yeah.
Same message.
And then we made, you know, made the point that, you know, if withdrawing would stop it, that would be a different question. But to withdraw from AOCC and essentially not be at the table, so you give up something and gain nothing, didn't make any sense either. I also let them know that the chair has indicated a strong interest in revisiting whether or not we'll stay at AOCC the next time dues are up, which is in 2019, and that question would be revisited. I didn't say what the answer would be or what the decision would be, but that the question itself would be revisited because the chair has made it clear that he wants to do so. And that's, I'd say, pretty much where we left it at that point.
Yeah, and I think their concern is when they look at this, they see larger issues that concern them about the Trump administration. I understand that, but I don't think these folks are just driven by the overall umbrella of that as much as they, of this particular monument expansion. It's the 40,000 acres, it was a 60,000 acre expansion. They have no issue with the other 24,000 acres. It's because it was ONC land and it's a test case. And one of the things I mentioned to them, and Mary Gautreaux, who's Senator Wyden's Forest Council folk, she runs it, one comment she made to me was, well, we can't bar the, you know, the door to the courthouse. And that was when she was saying, no, the environmental community has a right to litigate.
Everybody has the same right.
Right, and so the issue is, if they have the right to litigate, you know, this is a case law litigation question in my mind. And no way reflects any, with us, any agreement with the larger Washington Trump administration's issues when it comes to monuments. This is, to me, is a very distinct
question
package. So they were very, I think we left on a really good note. I mean, I think that they understand that we're all environmentalists, at least, you know, I am, and that we're trying to maintain relationships that are going to be important long term for the state. So that's been kind of my message. So.
One thing that did seem to resonate to some degree was basically it made a comment that sometimes our choices are between two positive things and we don't necessarily all come down on the same side of those two positive things. And that's the responsibility that we have in governing. We have to make decisions and choose. And the solar arrays on farmland was case in point in that. And I would submit that no matter how you voted on that particular issue, nobody's wrong. We simply had a different view of two very positive concepts. And that's not unlike what we're having to deal with this. We certainly want to protect monuments and protect the forests and also understand that people have economic and social justice needs in the rural communities that need to be addressed. And trying to find a balance with those things is what we are supposed to do. And that did seem to resonate to some degree with them on that.
They didn't feel as if we were blind. I mean, we were pretty direct and honest, and I think we have the same values.
It's just how
we manage this, and their way of managing it is different than how we're trying to manage it, I think is what the issue is.
Paul?
I just want to say, I just read the letter real fast. The wording is a little bit unfortunate.
Yeah.
I think it kind of portrays it inaccurately. I think especially the second paragraph, there are people that are on the AOCC that I know are very environmentally minded.
Right.
I think they would take offense to that because I think they're actually, for the very same reasons we are, at the table and are strong advocates of the environment. And then it basically, the way it sends tens of thousands of taxpayer dollars, it makes it seem like we're lobbying and loading in and we're, we need to spend more money on advocacy. I mean, it
okay,
portrays
I did,
it as
and
though,
I did see that letter. I did see that letter. Okay.
Yeah, I think the way that's portrayed is, it's our it's the dues that we pay. It's not we're sending special money to fight this fight.
Yeah.
And I have seen it as, I see the glaring, well, there are some glaring inaccuracies with that. And that, I think, is more of a political framing than it is actual reality, because when you're talking about these folks being timber lobbyists, they're all elected officials like us. They're not lobbyists. In fact, they do hire one lobbyist, but they are themselves not directly involved in lobbying. They're elected officials that are trying to get revenue for their communities. So that is a characterization. I'd like to say, hey guys, you know, I know that you're kind of framing it this way, but that is not an accurate representation.
And just to add to that, the very last sentence that's on that same second paragraph that's in bold, we strongly encourage Clackamas County to stand up for public lands by withdrawing, da-da-da. I think that everyone around the table, the AOCC, would strongly say that they are advocating for public lands.
Yeah, what is at stake is actually what the use is of the public lands. That's really
that's
the common thing.
Or ownership
and control. And management by the BLM, management by the forest, you know, that's really what's at stake. And part of the disconnect is that the BLM, according to ONC, hasn't necessarily managed it to the threshold it should be managed for timber production. And the environmental community, when they try and get a timber, oftentimes it moves into litigation. So there's that. There's that give and take frustration that's been going on for years and years and years, too. So I don't pretend to understand it all, but I certainly get the emotional read of what's happening. So,
well, I think we beat that one to death for the moment. So
yep,
let's move on. And I believe it's current issues and updates from
okay. Great. Just wanted to review quickly the agenda for Thursday's meeting. Reminder that we're meeting in the evening on Thursday at 6 o'clock for the board meeting, for the Board of Business meeting. We'll have a presentation from about the Drive to Zero winners of the Posters and Coasters Safe Driving Contest. There will be three public hearings where you'll be putting your hats on for Service District Number 1, Tri-City Service District, and the Surface Water Management Agency of Clackamas County, all related to the partnership, the West Partnership. Other than that, the consent agenda is, it's there. I didn't see anything pop out at me. So that's what's up for the agenda this coming Thursday evening. And with that, I would, you had received from Don an email from a Lisa Scheel about Selective Service System Board, and asking if to have somebody from Clackamas County. This could be anyone. It could be even just a regular community member who would serve on the Selective Service Board to hear conscientious objector appeals if they ever.
We open the draft.
They open the draft. And so I talked with Rich Swift about it. He's, even though they do, the meetings, I guess, are in Colorado. That's where the regional headquarters are. So there would be some meetings and some trainings. And they do pay for the travel. He's not in a place where he wants to send any of staff to do that. They're quite busy. So I'm asked, what I wanted to find out from you is, I mean, if anybody wanted and the board wanted to do this, that would be great. But what kind of process would you like to use? Would you like somebody from the board to be there? Would you like us to do a community search? I'm open to anything.
My suggestion is to take this basic information, put it on Clackamas County website, and maybe even include it in a forthcoming Clackamas County circular, and just let people know that this is available and how they can apply.
Okay.
And I'm not interested in serving on the Selective Service Board. I volunteered.
Yeah, I was just thinking maybe perhaps a citizen who's also a veteran might be interested in serving.
That
has actually got some background in that. That might be of interest to them. So, yeah, I'd say open it up for an application process for a citizen to sit on it.
Is that all right with everybody?
Okay. Thank you very much. And next, I'd like to invite Laura Zentner and Catherine Grabowski-Johnson to talk about the China delegation, a trade mission to China coming up this fall.
Good morning. Laura Zentner, Director of Business and Community Services, here today to talk about the 2018 trade mission to China, which is currently scheduled for October and November of 2018. Catherine Grubowski-Johnson is with me, and she has been working with Charlotte Christensen, who's a board member of the Oregon-China Sister State Relations Council, regarding the itinerary, and they've come up with three different scenarios. So I will turn it over to Catherine to talk to you about the different scenarios, and then what we'd like to do is just figure out who will be going on the trade mission so we can get the everything scheduled and set up, ready to go.
Before you start, I'd like to congratulate you on your promotion.
Oh, thank you so much.
So looking forward to working with you.
Thank you.
Good morning. So you received a packet that had the different packages for the China trip outlined, package one, package two, package three. So basically, this is a combined trade mission to visit our sister county in Guanyin County in China, and also to attend an import expo in which China has invited 100 countries to come and have discussions and meetings and networking for importing goods from around the world into China. So the Oregon-China Sister State Relations Council is scheduling a trip that the entire trip is October 27th through November 12th. And at our request, they have put together several options because that is a long time for anyone to be gone, especially elected officials. So the one that we are considering for Clackamas County is package number two, which is October 30th through November 9th. So I think we're just open to discussion as to, I know that you've had discussions amongst yourselves of who might want to attend representing Clackamas County. So I will just open it up for discussion, answer any questions if I can. I will be representing Clackamas County to help coordinate this trade mission, and so probably the sooner we get started, because there's visas that we need to schedule and arrangements, so probably the sooner the better.
Well, I had,
and I'm not going, so you guys decide whoever wants to do this. It's okay with me.
Sonia?
So I just had a question about the history of this. When did it start, and how long have we been doing trade missions with China?
We, as Clackamas County, have just started in the last few years. Commissioner Schrader, you want to talk about the sister county relationship is when we started getting involved.
And maybe what we should do is also get a history. Charlotte Christensen sent that to me, so I'll make sure you all read this. This is the history of the organization, and the state has been involved with this with people like Arnie Roblin, Bill Hansel. Here, we pass this over. This gives everybody an outline of, it's been actually going on since, I think, 1984. So we've had a relationship through this organization, and I had an opportunity to go as part of one of their delegations, but they've been sending people over, and you know, again, with our, you know, Chris Edmonds. Was it Chris Edmonds? No.
Edwards.
Who was the legislator who was with us? Chris Edwards.
Edwards.
It was Chris Edwards was the legislature on our trip, and Carlotta Collette mm-hmm. and I, and you and I went to mm-hmm. this. So.
Also, the Chamber of Commerce is also have gone.
Yes, right. They
went
have their
last
own.
Year.
They have their own trip. It's more. There seems to be more of a. Some business, but sightseeing kinds of things as well. This is really a trade mission that's really very focused and very, you know, driven by what where you go and what they want you to see, pretty much.
So
and we did sign a sister relationship with Guanyin County as a, you know. So So we're just kind of actually starting to do this with an organization that's been here for a while, so. There we go.
So I had, based on discussions we had last year, I sort of anticipated going this particular time. And I heard from Jim just last week that he was interested in going this time. But he did not firm that up, so that would be a discussion that needs to be held.
Okay.
So I'm not sure beyond that if we have an answer, but if it's acceptable to the rest of the board, I definitely would like to go this particular time.
Completely unacceptable.
Yeah, I don't have any quarrel with that. I'm not over eager to jump in at this time.
Yeah.
So if Commissioner Humberston and Commissioner Bernard want to go, that's great.
Okay. I will work with staff and we'll get going on coordinating this.
I assume you'll need my passport.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you must have a passport.
Well, I would consider going. I don't understand, like, when it says things like, I mean, in these packages, I don't understand necessarily what the cost is. And sort of my concern overall, big picture, is what's being subsidized by someone else, China. What are we paying for as the taxpayers? Where's that money coming from? There's a comment there, if you bring a spouse, it's a $250 charge. I don't know what that's involved with. I don't know if you were to bring a spouse, what would they be able to participate in with the day-to-day? I don't know who all's going from class. I mean, I would just have a lot of questions.
Okay.
I just have a lot. But I think it's important that we, I just had a meeting with Bob Moore from Bob's Red Mill. They are going to be in China at the same time for something. I don't know if it's
part of this expo.
If it's part of this,
yes.
But we have industry in Clackamas County that is doing business with China. I think it's really important that we support our local industries. And so from that perspective, if there are things that we can do to help facilitate it, I'm interested. I don't know if three commissioners can go or...
They do these every year. Mm-hmm. There's always going to be a chance. So it's just the timing, on how you guys want to work this out.
So I would suggest that we will put together a closer itinerary. So what you received was from the state. It is their first shot at putting together an itinerary based on trying to break this down so that you wouldn't have to go for the entire time. So basically, when we went on the trade mission, it was not as conducive to spouses going because they're very formal meetings that they have with the elected officials. They're very prescribed. When you go, you're greeted. They usually provide the transportation. We do pay for our time. We pay the state for organizing this. You are responsible for your own airfare to and from China. And then
for the spouses.
And for yourself as well. The county. Yeah. The county.
So it's kind of a, if I recall, Martha, is that it was very regimented. I mean, you guys, it's like the Washington, D.C. trip. It's not really a vacation kind of a thing. It's really, it's
definitely
work.
Not.
It's work, right?
We were on 6 planes and 3 trains in 8 days.
Yeah.
It's very busy because they want you to see. We visited the port. We visited the expo center where they have the Oregon Pavilion for e-commerce. It was very regimented, so no, it's not a pleasure trip.
Yeah.
We very often would get back to our hotel at 11 o'clock at night and have to be at the airport at 7 in the morning. So it's a very arduous trip.
The train rides were.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I blocked out the entire time in my calendar in anticipation, but my interest is making sure that whichever block you choose, that it's really focused on the trade mission aspect of things, and making sure that we're able to advocate effectively for our county
Okay.
Whether that means October 27th through the 14th of November, or that means just the 9 days, I think that you have, whatever is required is fine with me. But that's where I want to focus.
And we hosted a delegation in April, and there were 8 delegates and their driver and their translator. And we hosted a meal for them. They provided their own transportation, their own accommodations, and we hosted meals that's similar to what they do there. They will host certain meals. We're responsible for the rest.
So I do have a question, and as these things progress, for those who have gone, Chamber, some of the folks here, do we see a tangible benefit going forward, or is there any inroads of what, is there anything taking shape that we can build on? Or, and I'm just looking for the value. Where's the value proposition going forward? Is it hopeful or is it hopeless? Just kind of curious as to where we think this might
right.
be going.
And with that, along the lines of what's happening nationally.
Mm-hmm. Our goal is to increase exports from Clackamas County to China. That is our goal from an economic development perspective. That's why we began participating in this. That's why we went last time, because they were opening up an e-commerce platform. That's why this trip, including the expo, which again, like you said, Bob's Red Mill, they do business in China. So it's an opportunity for us to explore how Clackamas County businesses can increase their exports to China. That's our goal.
And what's China's goal?
You would have to ask China.
I have to ask China. Good question. Our job is to export. That's it. That's our goal.
And this, I will use that one of my favorite little sayings again.
Yeah.
Trust everyone, but cut the cards. Go over there with our eyes wide open.
So I will be happy to put together a more detailed itinerary and pricing and send you again maybe more details, because it sounds like you haven't really decided who's for sure going to go and which package you want, what your time frame is.
Yeah, what
correct?
Is your time frame as far as getting visas and that.
We can get visas fairly quickly, but I think we're in May. This is October. I think if we start working on this now, the better off we will be. Last time, I think we got our visa the day before we left, and that's cutting a little close.
But possible.
But possible. If you have to, it's possible.
So there's not you don't have a firm timeline as to when we need to decide.
No. No.
Good. I think the sooner the better, guys. And Meyer, and the visa, they can... they get it to the Chinese embassy, and if they know that you're going on this sponsored trip, they expedite it. I just got my visa. And it came in Friday.
Having just hosted a delegation the earlier that we can make plans, I think the better for everyone, certainly so that we know that our transportation is taken care of and that our delegates are well cared for.
And to Paul's question about what the thing is, we've actually hired someone to look at export strategies
yes.
that are going to give us tangibles, and we're just not going to concentrate on China. This is broader
correct.
Than this. It's just that this seems to be an opportunity now that gives us some insight into that.
We've hired a consultant, Karen Godden, who is an international trade expert, and she is working on an international trade strategy for us. She started a month ago and anticipated to be finished the end of October. And I think I know the goal of that is to give us a better idea going forward of what business we have with other countries and how we pursue that and a better strategy so that we're not just responding to these opportunities but being deliberate.
Is there any chance that move up the timeline on her completion, or at least have a preliminary prior to going to China? It might be
possibly,
helpful.
Yes.
It might be helpful.
Because I think the issue is that this is bigger than us. We have to build the partnerships as part of the strategy. Mm-hmm. Business Oregon should be involved, the Portland Business Alliance, the Oregon Business Council, Clackamas County Business Alliance, the West Eco. So having that strategy, to my mind, actually pulls those folks in, so we are not constantly being the host, but this is a coherent, that we're kind of initiating a coherent strategy in a leadership way that I don't think any county has done this before. I don't know.
I
don't believe so. Yeah, no, we're...
Put all the pieces together.
Yeah.
Do we have other types of sister relationships anywhere else in the world?
Not that I'm aware of. At the county, I think this was the first, but I don't know the history. I don't know for certain. I've worked in many cities that have sister city relationships, Japan and Germany and other areas. But at the Clackamas County, I think this was maybe the first at a county level.
Yeah, I know Boring has a relationship with Dole,
Scotland.
Yeah.
So I was just curious if there are other relationships. Yeah. And if not, why not? I mean, it seems like a good way to...
Well, that's the other thing that, like I said, this shouldn't just be about one country. This is...
Yeah, the international trade strategy that the consultant is working on, that she will be looking at various countries and come back with a recommendation on where we should be trading internationally.
That'll be exciting.
Canada, Germany probably, or some of the big
ones. And this is also part of the larger picture NACO is doing, because they have, and I regularly go on those phone calls because I'm on their board for international trade, and Catherine and I have attended those meetings. Mm-hmm. They oftentimes have round tables where we get contacts. Mm-hmm. So we may be the county in this state, but overall, when you look at that list of counties, plural, it is across the United States that they're looking at this pretty deliberately. Mm-hmm. So I should get the list of counties that are involved in that. Yeah, and get it to you folks.
I was invited, I think it's next week, to attend a British dinner with diplomats from the UK that will be having international relations discussions about doing business. So I think it's timely. I think the opportunities for our businesses are, I think it's a good time.
And then what about what's happening nationally? Does that have an impact on this?
Yes.
And what?
Well, I think the issue is, I think the national piece is that, you know, it's a tariff war. And I think that as local elected officials, we have to make it clear that, yes, that is an issue and that this is the Trump administration's do that. But we are really pushing exports at this point as well. I mean, we really have to watch it, but people have to understand at our level. We have no control over those kinds of dynamics. So, wouldn't you say? I think that's,
Well, I'm just curious if it makes it, given the political climate, if it makes it less possible for us to be effective and if it's something we might want to not invest our time and resources in until things change. I don't know.
Do you want to answer that, Martin? Or do you want me to?
Go ahead. No.
There's some thought that it's advantageous at this time from the perspective of our exporting, because we're at a disadvantage currently in the balance of trade issue, which gives us an argument to make that if we're going to have a relationship, there needs to be more balance. And we're sitting here with 240 plus agricultural products, not all of which are able to go to China at this point in time. Some may not be suitable, but others certainly would be. We have a metals manufacturing component in our county, and to name a couple of major business groups that we could be advocating for. So the thought is that this could be a good time for us to push the export aspect of this relationship on our behalf and our business's behalf. We had, what was her name this morning?
Valerie.
Gave a presentation last week to talk to us in depth about that.
Okay, but isn't China closing down as well, or no? Is this all about taking off there?
I think we're all in new territory as leaders in economic development for the county. The fact is that we have hundreds of our businesses who export all over the world. Many of them rely on exports to China. So I think our goal is to try to navigate this. How can we support that? How can we look for opportunities for our businesses? So I think we're all of the mind that we can't just step back and do nothing because our businesses count on this. So I think the more that we can explore these opportunities, look at that, building the relationships and looking at ways that we can assist our businesses, I think that's maybe what our role could be as a county.
Yeah, I'll be really interested with the report. I would really like to see where most of our experts go and what types of products are going where.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And with the rise in like hazelnuts, for instance,
yes.
Where are our hazelnuts going? I know that we make some of the best hazelnuts on the planet.
Right.
We're
right.
Probably one of the largest exporters. I don't have the information in front of me, but I bet it's here, of fruit products to China and the world. A lot of our berries, and then we got a rule change for the USDA so we could export frozen product as well as just the fresh product. Because Cathay
2 years ago.
Pacific, yeah. Cathay Pacific has flights every other, well, I think 2 flights a day, right, where they're shipping stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, well, thank you. Interesting.
Thank you.
I appreciate
thank
the
you.
Information.
Any
thank
other questions?
Good.
Okay, let's move on.
Okay, I think we're going to do ABCs. We're going to start with the Planning Commission. Caroline, do you want to?
Well, we don't actually have any ABCs, but we
okay.
do need to discuss the Planning Commission. The board last week expressed some interest in adding a few more names to the pot of who you want to interview. I'm still waiting to hear back on a couple commissioners on who they might be interested in adding to the list. Excuse me. We received this letter from Baldwin Vanderbilt. And I'm gonna give you the list. So if you wanna, whoever has not added their names, they can give me the names and I can start working on setting up the interviews.
So I'm gonna just jump in and just say that I just got this morning the rationale for, or explanation that is, as to how this list was narrowed down to 3 recommendations. And I agree with Chair Bernard that we should interview them. The Planning Commission is really takes a, not only a skill set, but a commitment and passion for detail. I mean, I think you almost need to be an attorney practically, or have an interest in getting into that. So I want to make sure that we have people there that bring that. And of course, having them geographically located around the county is also of value. But just because someone only has a geographic address doesn't necessarily in itself a qualification, in my opinion, for this office. So I want to make sure that the people there are sensitive to that and also, frankly, involved and connected. I think that especially in light of this marijuana issues that we have growing out there, and by the way, another bad. I got to deal with a situation. I need staff's help on another issue that's going out there. I just learned about last night. So, this is a growing concern. I think people that are active and connected in the community that are on the Planning Commission would also be an advantage. I think the letter from Baldwin Vanderbilt does point out something. So I think Joseph Edge, for example, has I think not only the qualifications, but has that interest and background, and has proven himself to be considered. So to not have him considered, I think, is problematic. But now that I know at the list, and I very little on the application, right? It's hard to judge. So I'm looking for some guidelines. If the guidelines from the board are, we want someone, that we want them all to be rural, then I guess I have to eliminate everyone that doesn't live in a rural area. But if we're not wedded to that, and we are open to, you know, I was just looking for the guidelines as to how they came up with these people.
Well, I don't know, the Planning Commission came up with it, but the, I think the general guidelines are ethnic, gender, and geographic diversity on the Planning Commission in general terms. Now, that said, I don't know if there's any specific seat resigned or assigned to any specific area. So there's no reason that Mr. Edge couldn't get another interview.
Well, yeah, and I think those three things that you just mentioned at the beginning of your statement are, you know, a factor, but I don't think that they should be the sole determinant.
I agree. So I don't have any, I personally don't have any candidates to bring forward. I'm assuming other some other members may have some, and you can forward those to Caroline and the interviews can be set up.
Yeah, so if that's the case, I don't really know how to not consider interviewing them all, and I don't, that's a long list, but I was hoping that maybe staff had screened them or met with them and they interviewed them, but apparently that's not the case.
Well, over there in the list that I shared with you.
Yeah, I see that there's a lot of no's, so if they didn't interview them.
They didn't interview all of them.
I don't want to disqualify someone because there wasn't a formal, were they invited for an interview?
I talked to Mike McAllister, and in fact, in the email that I sent you last week, there was an explanation as to how they arrived at the six that they interviewed and the three that they recommended for appointment. It is correct, Commissioner Humberston, what he said, the gender diversity, rural versus urban, all those were a factor. Some of the people who were not interviewed were not interviewed based on the fact that they didn't provide as much information in their application, so they had no way of knowing some of other, if they had the qualifications for this position. So there were a variety of factors that they did consider in, I put that in the email.
Okay.
Yeah.
It looked like one of the things that they did was, which is not unusual in interviewing situations, and that is they did a paper screening first.
Mm-hmm.
And they screened out a number of people who didn't make the cut on the basis of a paper screening. And then they interviewed, I think it was at least six,
yes,
if I'm not
it was
mistaken,
six.
Mm-hmm. Candidates, of which Mr. Edge was one of the candidates that was interviewed. And then selected three from the six.
Yeah, well, I just don't, and I did a quick peruse of all the applications yesterday, and I'm not sure how they, other than the three.
What their criteria was?
Yeah, I'm not sure how they, for example, how does Joseph Edge fall off the list? I mean, that's one that I think I was struck by.
Maybe because there's representation with Michael Wilson. Milwaukee would be incorporated, not unincorporated.
Well, I think what people don't know is that actually Michael Wilson.
Or Oak Grove, John Gray's from Oak Grove.
Yeah, but actually Michael Wilson does live in Oak Grove.
Oh, and John Gray?
And John Gray does live in Oak Grove.
So that's probably why, because they just are looking at Oak Grove. When I look at the three that they selected, Gerald Murphy, who is a lot of knowledge on watersheds and stream restoration, I mean, he is really knowledgeable. I think that would be a good background to have on a planning commission. And Louise is from South Clackamas County, which we don't have represented. And there isn't anybody from.
Well, I mean, to streamline the process here, if you have a name that you think should be interviewed, I would say submit that to Caroline. And whatever that list turns out to be, we will interview.
Yeah, well, I'll give you another name here. Stephen Schrodel is a person you ought to interview. Very, very bright. Very involved, very curious. I mean, he's demonstrated. He's also on the school board, by the way. So I'm curious as to why he didn't make the list either. So again, I'll go and try to discern. Maybe I'll make phone calls first and talk to folks.
Well, maybe we should just have our staff come and talk to us.
Well, I think I'm just gonna. I'll just call these people and
that's a lot
just go down. It is. It is.
It seems like.
It is.
You could streamline.
That's why.
You have a lot of work to do.
I do.
Let's try to
Well,
help
again,
you.
If you have names to submit, please submit them, and Caroline will see to it that the interviews are
well,
set up.
Well, I might change, based on this conversation, I might change my recommendation based on if there were other considerations. Because they reviewed it all.
Yes, they did.
Right. And we don't always do this. There's just certain ones where we seem to want to, like the Budget Committee and Planning Commission.
Mm.
But I'm fine with it if that's what folks want to do.
Well, the chair had asked that we interview additional candidates, so in respect to the chair's request, like I said, submit your names, and then we'll set up the interviews.
Would there ever be a situation, I think it's so wonderful that so many people want to be on our planning commission, where there could be alternates that would, could attend meetings and be available if somebody wasn't available?
Not that I'm aware of.
I don't know.
More of a question for Laurel.
Yeah.
If we appointed more than the number, and how do we come up with the number? Is that a state law?
It's 7 to 9. I think we try to peak it at 9.
Yeah.
That's what we try to do, to go for the maximum.
Is that a state law or county code?
No, it's just kind of how we.
I think it's our, we are bylaws and things written.
Okay. Anything further?
Okay, so you will be sending me your updated names, the list of names, and then I'll compile them. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, I already gave you what I thought. I'm just saying that I could change based on what staff did, and I don't know what they did.
Well, you could certainly, if you want, have them come.
Where is he?
You could have them come next week if you want to wait.
Don't they listen to everything? Aren't they just in their offices, or if they're out of the office?
No, because it's not streamed.
Well, our next item coming up is going to be the Watershed Council Soil Water Conservation District.
So, would you like to do scheduling really quick?
You got scheduling ready?
Yeah, let's get that done, and then we'll do the Watershed Council.
Okay. On Wednesday, May 16th, it is the Oregon Solutions Celebration at 4 p.m. at PSU.
I'll go over this.
Okay. Friday, May 18th, it's the first Salmon Celebration at 1 p.m. at the McLean House.
I'm pretty sure I'm attending that.
Okay. Sunday, May 20th, it's the NAMI Walk at 1 p.m. at Vera Katz East Bank Esplanade. Thursday, May 24th, is the City's Dinner at World of Speed, 6 in the evening.
I believe I'm scheduled for that.
Okay.
Yeah, and I cannot go to that.
Okay. And the last item is Saturday, June 19th, Milo McIver Park 50th Anniversary at 5:30 at Memorial Viewpoint, but it does conflict with Northwest Oregon Labor Appreciation Night that some of you are attending.
Yeah, I'm going to that, the labor.
Yeah.
And you just need to notice, like, how do you, you ask us so that you know what you have to notice if more than three are going?
Yeah, but I also, if you don't tell me now, I also look at the calendar when I'm getting ready to notice, so it's fine.
Because I think, like, some of this is on my calendar
Okay.
already.
Okay, well, that's all I have.
Okay, we'll take.